Duke's Mayo. Do you get it? Because only the ones that get it really get it. Your friends get it. Your mom gets it. Your grandma gets it. Your neighbors get it. Sometimes a dog gets it. Get out of there. What else? Your potato salads get it. BLTs get it. Tailgates get it. And restaurants get it too. By now, even you probably get it. So get it today. Made without any sugar since 1917, Duke's is that little southern something that makes good things better. Get Duke's. It's got twang.
Open up a tab, grab a seat, and pour a pint. It's time for the Beer Guys Radio Show.
You want free beer? Go to the brewery.
Dedicated to the art, science, and enjoyment of craft beer.
Yo, what's wrong with the beer we got?
Now, here are your hosts, Tim Dennis and Aaron Williams.
And welcome to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We are radio for the local craft beer movement, broadcasting from Monday Night Brewing in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm Aaron Williams.
And I'm Tim Dennis. We got Brian Hewitt with us as well. Brian, how's it going this week?
It is going very well this week.
Good, good, good. So on this episode of Beer Guys Radio, we're checking out one of Alabama's hottest breweries. We're going to be talking to Trim Tab Brewing out of Birmingham, and owner Harris Stewart will join us a little later in the show.
Yeah, it'll be very exciting. And then you've got some information with the summer months coming up. How not to store your beer in cars.
I do. Yes. So yes, we will tease that a little later.
Exactly.
Yes.
We'll talk about that a little bit. But in the meantime, you know, busy week. I know you've been a little under the weather, Tim, so I'm glad that you're feeling better.
I just last couple of days a little under the weather.
The worst.
But I'm getting there.
Exactly. So. What did you guys drink this week?
So went to Wild Beer Fest last weekend, had a good time with that. Wrecking Bars festivals are always a good time. One thing I thought was really cool there, they had beers from other states and some international beers, you know, all sour beers, as you might guess from the name. But a lot of it was Georgia beer, and Georgia can hold its own, you know, with a lot of the stuff they had there. So I really enjoyed a lot of that. We had, the winners there were, I know first place was Variant Splody.
Yes.
Which is just full of fruit. Second place, I think, was the Three Taverns there. I forget the name, but it's a blueberry cobbler sour. And third place was Rainbow's Sherbet Sour.
All right.
Sherbet Berliner, I think, which was a collaboration between Wrecking Bar and Red Brick. So that was really good.
Okay.
And tried one from Against the Grain. Had a couple Against the Grain brews. Narcos Tea, which was a stout with a black tea in it. And it was phenomenal. One of the best stouts I've had in a while. Really nice. And got to try the Nappy Roots Against the Grain collaboration. Watermelon Chicken and Grits.
Yes.
And I think we're going to drink a little more of that tonight, too.
I think so, too. Friends of the show, Nappy Roots. And, I was able to have that, too. So,
yeah.
Nice golden ale. A little bit of watermelon flavor, too.
Yeah, a little bit. Not overdone. It's drinkable. So.
Did a good job.
So that was kind of my weekend beer there.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. I was, again, hitting some out-of-state beers. So I had a Brewhub IPA and also a Brewbus Pale Ale. So I guess it was on the brew train wagon or something like that.
The train wagon.
All right. I have no idea what that is, but that's vehicle. Okay. Exactly. So yeah, and of course they had the watermelon chicken and grits as well. So pretty quiet week for me. I was doing a lot of yard care and children care this week, so it cut into my beer drinking. That's very offensive to me sometimes.
You know you can drink beer while you attend to your yard.
You're brilliant. That is exactly right. And cigars too, I guess.
Indeed. They have what they call yard jars.
Excellent. Well, what about yourself, Brad?
So I did a lot of the similar things to Tim. I went to the Wild Beer Fest. I enjoyed – what was the I got it wrong. It was the Max Lager / Bold Monk Invocation, I think. Incantation, I think is right.
I think that was it.
Really loved that.
That was
really dug
good.
Pat Corn Loves America.
Yes.
Exactly where I was going with that.
That's
a collaboration with Sweetwater. I also made a trip over to Pontoon and checked out Snozzberries Taste Like Snozzberries. So that was there's a lot of fruit in that. But
what's that beer, Brian? What's the style on it?
Snozzberry. So it's a Berliner with a ton of fruit in it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And some lactose, I think, as well, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. All right.
That's almost a given when I'm looking at the popular beers out there. I'm like, of course it's going to have lactose.
It's going to be milkshakey, right?
Of course it's going to be, yes.
You know, I want to throw something out there
that
when we were on with Wrecking Bar last week, we joked about them getting a daiquiri machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen three breweries this week that are making beer slushies.
We can predict the future.
We can predict the future beer. So let's decide what we want. Let's not abuse this power.
Okay.
And see what we can do.
Can we abuse it a little bit?
We can abuse it a little bit. Yeah. I think that's expected.
Non-hazy New England IPAs. Wait, that's a thing.
Stop.
Hang on.
We said we wouldn't abuse it.
That's true. I guess that's true. We can't do that. So, hey, no abuse here. Let's check out Truck and Tap's beers of the week.
Crack open a cold one. It's the Truck and Tap beer of the week. Craft beer and food trucks in downtown Woodstock. Truckandtap.com.
All right, Tim, what do we got?
We got a lot of great beers to drink this week, Aaron. Of course, with Trim Tap coming on, we have their Paradise Now Berliner Weiss that we're going to get into. We have their IPA. We also have an experimental 006, which is a hazy IPA. We're going to drink the Nappy Roots Against the Grain collaboration watermelon, chicken, and grits, as Aaron mentioned earlier. And Aaron brought us a little bit from Southern Grist up in Nashville, Hair of the Wizard.
Yes. Not Hair of the Dog, Hair of the Wizard.
Hair of the Wizard. Is that Brian's hair? Because he kind of looks like a wizard.
He does. Put a hat on him and he's got a little...
After I've been drinking the next day, then you take the hair.
That's it.
The wizard comes out.
So that's what we got, man. That's
okay, Wizard Brian, let's check out this week's headlines.
What's in the news? The beer guys have the scoop.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Time for headlines.
What do we got today?
Okay, I think we need to start off by addressing some of the latest drama in the beer world. Miller Coors' chairman, Pete Coors, wrote an open letter, in quotes, to the Brewers Association. It was in response to comments that were made about big beer at last week's Craft Brewers Conference. But the quote-unquote open letter wasn't that open. It was really initially published in a trade publication called Beer Business Daily. And I think I heard that it was available beyond a paywall website, too. And it was never actually sent to the Brewers Association.
Okay.
So the open letter was never actually delivered. It's pretty well summed up by the first line of the open letter. The Brewers Association does a great disservice to the entire beer value chain by attempting to pit one part of the industry against another. So basically, we're all in it together, some blah, 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 and stuff about wine and spirits and marijuana and hard seltzer.
I think the way you're reporting this tells me your stance on it. Some of this and that and some blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
it kind of doesn't deserve any better than that. Maybe I should be more impartial. But.
You know, we chatted a little bit about this earlier in the week, and I think putting it behind that paywall and releasing that that way was intentional because people will hear about it and they'll get the buzz going. Then someone shares it and says how it was behind a paywall, which just increases the drama level and therefore probably got it around a lot more than if he had actually sent a private message to the Brewers Association.
True.
So.
True.
This was meant for
public
consumption.
It was all calculated. Yeah, absolutely.
It's theater. Sure, it's really theater. So, of course, when you have something like that that gets a lot of attention, a lot of news, you have people, you know, writing their responses to it. One of the ones I saw was from Nikos Ridge of Ninkasi Brewing in Portland, Oregon. He basically argues in counterpoints to the open letter that craft breweries are effectively a different industry than big beer. And why on earth would these small breweries be supportive to companies that engage in deceptive practices to undermine their portion of the industry? Specifically pointing at things like Blue Moon's branding as quote-unquote craft. So he really pushes on how big beer obscures the origins of the beers, misleading the customers and all that. And I think one of his best points is that the craft beer industry has more in common with small producer across industries than with the vertical players in their own industry.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting how he placed that. And I think I would definitely side with him on that because, you know, another thing he was talking about too is the way that that big beer has bought up, of course, some of the smaller craft brands and then basically turned around and put them all on certain taps. And it basically squeezes out a lot of the smaller independent craft brewers from getting access to some of those taps when you've got, you know, Goose Island, Elysian, Wicked Mead on one stretch of tap. I mean, there's not much you can do about it.
And that's the thing. From their perspective, it's so skewed. I couldn't imagine us thinking of ASW, for example, as being an enemy. Like, they think spirits are the enemy. People all around here are using their barrels to age, and they're hanging out. We have more in common with them than we'll ever have with Miller Coors.
They want to fight with other industries until they're ready to step on another craft brewer.
What else is going on?
So we have a conclusion to a story we've been following for a number of years, about two of them. In fact, we've been fighting for 2 years. The governor of Georgia has signed the Sunday brunch bill, a.k.a. SB 17. So Georgians can now start enjoying their mimosas and Berliners at 11 a.m. on Sunday, provided their city and or county decides to allow it. So it's important to note that this beer does not allow purchases at package stores before 12:30 p.m. And it's estimated the impact of this economically, they're going to be about 25,000, probably in increased sales at restaurants, which will help with the hourly wages of wait staff, basically, because they live on tips. So apparently officials in the cities across the state that already allow Sunday sales have like 30 to 60 days to call for a local referendum to approve SB 17. I'm not sure how that works, but people need to get on that to make it happen.
Exactly.
Sell your local council to make there it happen. You so you're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back very soon talking with Trim Tab Brewing.
There's a lot of great stuff coming out of the Woodlands, and if you'd like to get your hands on the super limited releases, you should join the Woodlands Circle Beer Club. Your membership will get you 6 unique and different beers from the Woodlands, awesome Woodlands Circle stemware, a $25 beer tab, and some other cool perks during your time as a member. Series 2 will start this summer and feature more great wild ales and barrel-aged dark beers. Get yours now for just $149. Find out more and join now at sweetwaterbrew.com/club. That's sweetwaterbrew.com/club.
Craft beer forged with a reverence for tradition and new styles that start a revolution. Ironmonger Brewing. The brewers at Ironmonger Brewing pride themselves at being masters of barrel-aged, hoppy, and sour beers. They invite you to their taproom in Marietta to taste and see. Also, visit their barrel room with an intimate drinking experience with great live entertainment. Keep up to date on all things Ironmonger by liking them on Facebook. Ironmonger Brewing, establishing a new standard in craft beer.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
What in tarnation?
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Hey, welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. Visit us on the web at beerguysradio.com or follow us on the socials, Beer Guys Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're back at Monday Night Brewing in Atlanta, Georgia. By the way, I want to give a quick shout out to our newest Patreon supporter, Cameron Gershel. So thanks, Cameron, for supporting us. If you're interested in being like Cameron, and who isn't, as well as getting some pretty sweet swag, head to patreon.com/beerguys and see if you can donate to the cause. As it would be.
There yes, absolutely. We'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. And joining us on the phone right now, we've got Harris Stewart.
Beer Guys, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing today?
Doing just fine, guys.
All the way over in Birmingham, Alabama.
We're sipping a little bit of your beer right now. We've got number 006, Harris.
Yes, so am I. So am I. Great choice.
Good stuff, man. So I tell you what, we're going to jump right into this beer thing. Tell us about number 006 here.
Excellent. Well, so it's a hazy double IPA. This was a product that was a relatively new thing for us. You know, about 8 months ago or so, we started rolling out a series called the Gallery Series, which is a class of beers that we only sell out of our tap room, the tasting gallery. We really want to challenge our brewers to be like exploring new styles, new ingredients. And really to get some feedback before we look to roll something out to market. That this was the sixth one, as you can imagine, in that series. And it was so popular that it kind of became its own series. We have a whole line called the Light Visions Collection that are all dedicated to these kind of hazy New England style IPAs. So what you're getting, it's a kind of a blend of really Galaxy leads a lot of it. Simcoe comes in the back end, really kind of tied together with Nelson. But you're really getting a lot of dense, dank, tropical fruits. You're getting those kind of like juicy elements you would expect from beers of these kind of styles. But we really tried to build the whole backbone of it so it wasn't just pure juice. You know, you're getting some, you know, some dank, earthy, resinous elements as well. But in the end, it's a lot of like candied pineapple, right. Really just kind of rich fruits. We love it and glad to hear you're enjoying it too.
Yeah, tasty stuff. So we want to get your hot take on something here, Harris. We've in our news segment, we talked a little bit about the open letter that Pete Coors wrote to the Brewers Association. So are you familiar with that story?
Get me up to speed.
So basically, he wrote to the Brewers Association was via an open letter that he sent to a private publication, and he was unhappy with comments that they made at CBC about craft breweries or about big beer, that they made about big beer just being not good for craft beer. So he was very unhappy about that and commented that he thought they shouldn't be fighting each other, should work together and look at the bigger enemy, spirits. Spirits, legal marijuana, and even hard seltzers are another issue that they're looking at now. So, Harris, what's your take on that? When we look at big beer versus craft beer, are they an enemy or an ally?
Well, I think it really just depends on the approach. I mean, that you know, when you look at the overall beer market, it's been flat for the past several years. So it's a pretty zero-sum market game. So when you're looking at craft, you know, which has been double digits for the past 15 plus years, you know, been under 10 for the past year or so, it's really a question of, you know, how the two cohabitate. You know, some of the business practices have been more nefarious than others, depending on the company that we're actually talking about. I think that they can, you know, coexist, but I mean, when we're fighting for the same share of mind and the same, you know, pool of people that are buying beer, insofar as that exists, I think it's going to be a pretty, it's going to be a part of the conversation. But I think in a perfect world they should, but in a world where the customer base is not growing, I think it's a natural thing to see.
Right. And this, and you know, my thoughts is, especially with the acquisition of some craft breweries, big beer quote is putting out some quality beers now with some of the breweries that they have. But it's like you said, it's the business tactics here that I think most everybody has an issue with. And again, just like you said, certain companies are more evil than others when it comes to the way they approach craft beer.
More aggressive, maybe. So that would be a good. Nice
progressive
thing. Aggressive.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to stick with evil.
Okay, good. You. That's okay.
Yeah, so.
Well, I mean, you know, like everybody that's in our space, you know, we compete on strength of product, strength of brand, and our relationships that we develop, you know, on a very personal level with people. You know, it's when it starts to transcend beyond those things and it starts to become, you know, be it a race to the bottom tactic or actively trying to undercut people, you know, starving people out of critical hops, things like that. I think that's where, from a, you know, an ethics level, you know, is where I begin to have the problem with it. You know, when you have a mature market, you know, it's natural to see some consolidation, but I'm hopeful that the, you know, what were, you know, typical mores and traditions about being, you know, amicable, even when you're having disputes in the craft beer world, I'm hopeful that that can remain part of the culture as, you know, consolidation becomes more the marketplace.
Absolutely. And like you said, I have no problem with, you know, free market competition, marketing your business as well as you can. But there's a huge difference in that and doing things to actively try and hurt other business. Promote your business, but don't do nasty stuff to hurt other folks or industries or businesses individually.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's right.
I would almost feel bad for Miller Coors because they have not been nearly as bad as AB InBev, but then they pulled the shenanigans with Stone, basically relabeling Keystone to steal market share from Stone Brewing. So, and there's just no excuse for it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right, so let's turn the page a little bit and just talk about
Trim Tab.
Talk Trim Tab, exactly. So, So Harris, you know, we talked to you probably about a year and a half ago, I think, last time we talked. And so, what's been changing? What's been up with you guys? And what's new in Trim Tab's world?
Great. Well, a lot. You know, when we spoke, it was right about when we were releasing Paradise Now, Raspberry Berliner Weiss in cans. And when we happened, we were pretty wholly unprepared for what that was going to do to our overall kind of capacity and our overall business plan. It was a kind of a market disruptor in, you know, Alabama, and it certainly made its way around the Southeast. It essentially obliterated all the headspace we had. So for the past year, we've been in a real holding pattern, not able to grow at all. During that period, that beer won a bronze at GABF, which we were really excited about. And that only further kind of fueled, you know, the demand for that. And last year we did a capital round where we, you know, raised up a lot of money to be able to expand our facilities that we're only just now kind of being able to deploy. And it opened up a lot of new opportunities for us. We were looking at the approach of building a new brewery or expanding the one that we're currently in, but we're kind of boxed in. Both approaches didn't really seem right. And over that period, we got in touch with the people down at Abita Brewing Company. And we, over the course of months, started a conversation. We were able to work out a great arrangement together where we've set up an alternating proprietorship with them. And we, it's not contract brewing. We, like our brewers, go and, you know, we brew on their facilities.
You know, and that's interesting because I've heard that happen before, actually. You know, again, here in Atlanta, Georgia, Scofflaw has a similar one with in Ohio. So it's just basically they've got some extra capacity. You need that capacity. And it's so centered. You're just basically using their equipment.
Yeah, precisely. So it's we graduated from a 30-barrel brew house to a 300-barrel brew house. So it was a order of magnitude change. So that was extremely exciting for us, not to mention gaining all the, you know, the laboratory and quality assurance measures. And of course, the question was, you know, is it going to be the same, which is a valid question, but we've put so much effort onto that. And it's a deadlock. If anything, the beer's improved as a result of the processes that we've employed. But the most exciting thing for us, though, is it was like a tree falling in the forest. It was 75% of our cellar that was between Trentab IPA and Paradise Now. We now brew our beers down at that other facility. And so that enabled us to have all this extra capacity to really just use as a playground. So that's what launched the Gallery Series. That's what gave birth to the Light Visions collection. So over the past year, we've put out probably about 20 unique beers and cans that have, some of it's seen distribution, a lot of it's just been in-house. But this whole year has been a mix between scale and innovation. You know, scale with our secondary facility and innovation by using our home base as an incubator for new ideas. And that leads us to the most recent developments we are super, super stoked about is launching into Georgia. We've been planning that for better part of 6 months and finally got the all the pieces put together, distribution arranged across the state. As of last month, we are, you know, inside, outside the perimeter. We're beginning to kind of cycle out through a few markets, but we're all throughout Atlanta, over into the Athens area, over down to Augusta, and about to start being in Columbus as well. So super, super excited to be in y'all's markets.
We're glad to have you here as well. You're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We do need to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a moment to talk more to Harris Stewart of Trim Tab Brewing.
Well, if you're looking to open a brewery or brew pub in the Atlanta area, you need to take a look at the Park at Georgetown. This unique community will feature a collection of restaurants along with a craft brewery located within the new JW Homes luxury development, Dunwoody Green. Conveniently located less than a half a mile from I-285, this enclave of restaurants will be the gathering place in Dunwoody. Whether meeting old friends or making new ones, the Park at Georgetown will be the place to share a great meal and to build lasting memories. If you're planning to open a brewery or a brew pub, the Park at Georgetown may be your new home. Krim & Associates, the developer of the Park at Georgetown, wants to talk to you. For more information, call Steve in St. Paul at 404-256-2960, extension 5. That's Steve in St. Paul, 404-256-2960, extension 5, the Park at Georgetown in Dunwoody Green.
It's Aaron and Tim, the beer guys. If you're like us, no lunch or dinner is complete without a pint or two of craft beer.
Which is why Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock and Alpharetta are always on our list. Tim, why do they call it Truck and Tap?
Well, the tap part is easy, Aaron. See, they've got 18 of them.
As for the truck part, well, that's when it gets interesting. Truck and Tap features your favorite Atlanta area food trucks daily, so that way you're getting a different menu every day.
Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and coming soon to Duluth in 2018. Truckandtap.com. Let them know that the beer guys sent you.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
And welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. All you night owls in Warren, Pennsylvania can listen to the show live every Saturday at 1 a.m. on WNAE 96.7 FM. So thank you for that. We are back at Monday Night Brewing in Atlanta, Georgia, talking to Harris Stewart, owner of Birmingham, Alabama's Trim Tab Brewing. Before we get back into it, Tim, you've got some very important message this time of the year.
I have some fun news here to share. So I recently had a chat with Adam Beecham and Blake Tyers from Creature Comforts Brewing over in Athens, Georgia, and we talked about beer storage. Mm-hmm. And I had done a tour of their new facility over there, and they mentioned some of the tests they'd done for various qualities of beer storage and the results they'd seen from it. They've got really into detail there. So I thought that would make for some interesting information to share. We talked a lot about how easy it is to take care of your beer, but also how easy it can be to just totally trash your beer in the right or slash wrong conditions. So, you know, that six-pack IPA that you have, if you leave that in the trunk of your car over a weekend, you buy it on Friday on the way home from work and forget about it, and you don't get it till Monday morning, it's gone. Huh. It's history there. So just 3 days at those kind of temperatures, and it will be totally oxidized. Your hops will be gone.
Yeah,
so,
especially, you know, here again, we live in the South, and the summers are, absolutely. Or just even May, it's been 80s here pretty much the entire week and a half. So we're already into it. So
yeah, we're already there. Absolutely. So there's a lot more information on that. You know, talk about other factors that can impact your beer. We also got a little information from Blake about how to store your beer as cork caged, all of that. And I did a write-up for our website, beerguysradio.com. There's a lot more information there, so check it out.
Excellent, excellent. Well, cool. Back to our interview now with Harris Stewart from Birmingham's Trim Tab Brewing. So personal note, you're a dad now, so congratulations.
Sure am. Thank you so much. Yeah, she just turned 9 months, so it's been a hell of a ride.
So how are you able, again, I've been a father three times over, so I feel your pain. So how are you able to balance running a business, especially running one as intense as a brewery, and family life?
It's a challenge. I'm very, very fortunate that I live very close to the brewery. So I can get home, you know, periodically, you know, through the day, if help is needed, so to speak. And we've been able to find some good help, that we don't have family around, but you know, my wife and I, Sherry is the manager of the tasting gallery. So she manages half of our employees, runs the whole tasting room. So we're both pretty full hands, you know, on for this. So we've had to, you know, enlist some, you know, help, and we're kind of going broke on childcare, but she's
does the brewery have a nursery now? Is that what we're hearing?
Soon.
There will be eventually. Yeah. But
brewery/daycare.
Well, it's just a matter of time before she's got little pink boots and I can put her to work on the canning line. So
that was just gonna say, once they start walking, they can shovel, you know, they can shovel mash tons.
Exactly. It's not child labor. It's character development.
That's right.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's what they all
absolutely
say.
Now, speaking of your tasting room, you actually refer to it as the tasting gallery.
That's right.
And there's a reason for that. Why is it a tasting gallery?
Sure. It's a functioning art gallery. The art on the walls it cycles out of every about 2 months or so. And we, you know, our whole premise is a company, like a trim tab is a small rudder on the larger rudder of a ship or airplane. We chose it as our name because it's a metaphor for a small source of big positive change. And we challenge ourselves to want our facility to be a trim tab as well, or to be a place that could foster trim tabs. And for us, the art community is a very vibrant source of that. And so we wanted to create a literal canvas for people. We don't charge a gallery fee for it. So all the funds go forward, you know, straight through to the artists, which typically brings down the art, makes it a bit more accessible for some people. And at first it was just people that were local around here, which was great. We've got very talented people in the Birmingham greater region, but now it's really exciting. We're getting people from all over the region, all over the country. So we're booked out now about 18 months. So,
very cool.
Yeah, it also makes for a refreshing, you know, aesthetic in there. Come in, you know, a couple months later and it'll look completely different.
And you do some other interesting events at your brewery too. I think last time I was over there was aerial acrobatics in the brew house.
Okay.
Big ribbons hanging from the rafters and that. Is that still an event there?
Yeah, I think the person that was working it went back to work for Cirque du Soleil, so that's temporarily on leave. Yeah, we have like a pretty open mind about, you know, what we do. We'll, you know, have anything from, you know, more traditional things like, you know, bands and DJs or aerial acrobatics or like, you know, poetry slams or, you know, entrepreneurial competitions. It's all over the place.
Now, speaking of DJs, I know there's one in particular that really likes
that's
to spin
right
the wheels
in
your ear. So. Tell
Sex
me about
Panther
DJ Sex Panther.
Yeah.
Sex
yeah
Panther. DJ Sex Panther.
I knew I wasn't going to get off the hook.
You definitely were not. No.
So has he been spinning lately?
Yeah. So I pretty much either play at 5 p.m. or 5 a.m. these days.
Okay.
I'll either like play the afternoons here just to kind of unwind after work on Fridays. And then once a month, Really good friends of mine that own a really crazy grandfathered in bar. It's kind of a service industry spot in town, and it opens at 7 p.m. and stays open to 7 a.m. Nice. And they have full service all throughout the night. I have food, and I start DJing there at 1:30 in the morning, and it goes until 6.
Wow.
Okay. So that's about it for me for the month.
But see, here's the good news about that is that you can do that, but like you can go home, you can take care of your baby, and then at 4 o'clock you're awake anyway because she's. And then you can just go do your DJ thing.
You know, now that you're a dad, are you working in like Mother Goose and the Wiggles and that into your remixes?
I'm gonna wait until she kind of like is my co-pilot with it. There you know, so we've got like a duo type thing. So.
I believe
coming to a kid's birthday party near you. You know,
I think that was the method that they Might Be Giants went, wasn't it, Brian? When they all became fathers, they started doing kids' music and kids'
albums.
Oh,
yeah. Here Come the ABCs or something like that.
Total.
Yeah.
You know,
Lisa Loeb did it too. She's
I missed them for a few years. And when I picked up an album again, I'm like, well, this is a little bit of a departure here. So
slightly.
Yeah. Now, we brushed on this just briefly earlier, Harris, but you were talking about your expansion with the. Additional capacity that you have there with your alternating proprietorship. You've come into Georgia, but you've got some other expansion plans, correct?
That's correct. So we haven't sent out a press release about this yet, but I'm really excited to announce that next month we will be launching into Nashville. So
very cool.
We've got a distributor arranged up there. We got a great partner with Bounty Beverage. We've hired a sales rep up there. We'll be living in the market. We were up at CBC all last week. Our staff was like doing about 7 events throughout the week, but we're letting a little bit of the dust settle from all the craziness,
the
other beer that's in there, and then we'll be looking for a rollout the first full week of June.
That's a cool little beer town. I haven't spent a lot of time there, but it seems like it's in a good spot and heading to a better spot there. So,
completely agree.
Good time to get in there.
There's a lot of it's like the cities of Nashville, Atlanta, Birmingham. It's really great. I've been doing a lot of traveling recently and seeing just so much of a vibrant, enthusiastic, very optimistic attitude about where these southern cities are going is a really, really exciting thing. And specifically to see how the craft beer communities are really getting energized and well connected with each other is a really great sign of the times of where Southern craft beer is right now. And, we're thrilled to be, a part of all three of them.
And I think it's almost a maturing process because, we've been so far behind from our laws and whatnot from say, the Northeast or Midwest or West Coast. And it almost seems like we're kind of in a adolescent maturation phase where we're starting to kind of get that collaboration feeling and kind of that, you're expanding your taste buds by having more types of beer out there, by having better types of beer out there. And so it's really interesting time to be here in the Southeast.
Absolutely. I mean, there's, you'd be hard pressed to find better beer than what's being made in the Southeast right now. So I've got, I couldn't ask for a better set of people to be, inspired and working around and, the people that we don't know in Georgia and Atlanta, we're excited to meet. And we've done a lot of collaborations last year. We did one with Southern Prohibition over in Mississippi recently that we debuted up at CBC. We did one with Idle Hounds down in Fort Walton. And, it's something that we love to do and definitely want to do more.
We want to talk to you more about collaboration, Harris. But first, we do need to take a break. You're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show, and we'll be back right after this.
We are Reformation Brewery, celebrating the reformer in you. Locally crafted within the renowned Etowah watershed of Woodstock, Georgia, Reformation creates yeast-forward brews full of aroma and flavor crafted to last. Come see us in beautiful Woodstock, Georgia, for a tour and tasting of unique brews that you can't find anywhere else. Reformation Brewery. Set beer free. ReformationBrewery.com.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
He hates these cans! Stay away from the cans!
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
And welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. Follow us on the socials, Beer Guys Radio, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are broadcasting from Monday Night Brewing in Atlanta, Georgia, but we are talking with Birmingham, Alabama's Trim Tab Brewing. Harris Stewart joins us on the line once again. Thanks for joining us today.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me again, guys.
Harris, when we went to break, we had just brushed on collaboration brews. And you mentioned that you had done one with Southern Prohibition and Idle Hounds. We've had both of those guys on the show before. Idle Hounds just a few weeks ago. I believe they came up for a big festival here. So I tell you what were the collaborations you did with those breweries?
Sure. So Idle Hounds, we did an IPL. That had some really unique hops like Denali and Racal, and like the it was a really just beautiful, crushable, you know, just easy drinking beer. But had a lot of hop expression to it. Lemon drop was also in there, so it kind of accentuated the, you know, natural kind of crisp lager flavors you get in there. It was called Playdate. Had a really funny label of like these two guys kicking the crap out of each other. That we, you know, but and then we for SoPro, we actually did a two-part collab. We brewed one at their place and then one at ours. Both were a kind of smoothie style IPA. Theirs involved pineapple. Ours was mango. Reverse that. Theirs was mango. Ours was pineapple.
Smoothie IPAs. I think that term should be outlawed, Harris. You've gone too far. We've talked about that last week.
Drop the chart.
That's it, man. But you know what? They sell like crazy. We just had a beer fest over here last weekend, and it was one of those smoothie IPAs that won. No, it was a smoothie Berliner, wasn't it?
Is that a step beyond the milkshake IPA? Is smoothie the next? Because Splody is...
Splody smoothie Berliner.
Yeah.
So I would think is pretty darn heavy on the fruit, for one. Is that...
I think that from a semantic standpoint, we're all just, you know, drunkenly feeling our way in the dark here.
Does the beer come with a fork?
Yeah. If you need a Vitamix to make your beer, then it's... Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a really, really tasty final product. You know, like good bit of lactose, those respective fruits in there, and the hops really shining through. And, you know, it was not much by the way of bitterness, which is the idea, but, you know, milkshake, smoothie, call it whatever you want. It was just still a tasty beverage.
Absolutely. You know, I'm a big fan of Southern Prohibition, definitely one of my favorite breweries in the South. And I have family in Mississippi. Sure. I go over there and travel, and they're still a young state when it comes to craft beer. Mississippi is very... Definitely. Conservative, old style, whatever you want to call it, old fashioned.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see, you know, they faced some challenges, I think, just like probably Alabama, Georgia have, maybe a little more extreme because they are a little more conservative. Mm-hmm. But Southern Prohibition, man, they are, you know, they're cranking it out there. Hattiesburg's got some good stuff going on with them for sure.
Absolutely. So it was like, yeah, that's what's great about the, you know, whole collaborative process, you know, just get an opportunity to not be at like an industry function, but actually be in our natural habitat, you know, and just hanging out, shooting around ideas and, you know, getting our hands dirty with, you know, making beer. But that's what I like about those whole processes the most is just, you know, we live and breathe this stuff, and it's a Herculean task, you know, taking a brewery of our size and trying to, you know, grow into the scale that we want to be. And so kind of sharing war stories and keeping the fires lit of inspiration about seeing other people's approaches, I think is a really,
you know, and it's funny
thing.
Because we talked about this before in the earlier interview, you know, what kind of industry would have your competition basically hanging out with each other and making concoctions together and basically dissolving their trades or trading their trade secrets together. You know, it's a collaborative competition. It's great.
Didn't Burger King actually try to do that one year where they tried to flip flop with McDonald's or something like that? And McDonald's was like, no, thanks. We're not having this.
I will say another boutique industry that does that a lot is the cigar industry. We're not talking cigars now, but, there's similarities. Definitely.
Do they do like, they do collaborate. I remember Nosotros was the big one.
I just reviewed a cigar that was a three-way collaboration, AJ Fernandez, Altadas, and Rafael Nadal. Okay, because it was in the three-way.
Absolutely. Very good stuff, man. Very good. So, Aris, we talked a little bit about your tap room, but when someone comes to visit Trim Tab, what experience, what vibe do you want them to have there? What are you trying to present?
Sure. Colorful, vibrant, musical, different. You know, we've kind of created a space where, for one thing, a lot of people have contributed on the look and feel of it. So, you know, I don't think there's one type of people that can walk in and kind of claim our place. Like, all right, you know, this is, you know, it's a very big tent, but it's a very creative space. We, for one thing, it's also recently, it's been a very busy and active space. So we've been on a pace of releasing a new beer and package out of house roughly about once a week. So it's been really, really kind of overdrive. But we're putting out one tomorrow, a margarita goza that's going to be really, really tasty. But it's just been on a great click. So it's just, you know, a great subset of the community.
Okay.
Typically a lot of dogs.
Are you talking about your customers?
We also have a food truck that we collaborated on.
Down tip.
Easy
down tip.
Yeah, we also like collaborated with a place in town. The place actually I was talking about that I DJ. They have their restaurant and our and us collaborated on a food truck. So it's inspired by Paradise Now. It's called Paradise Chow, and it's all kind of like, you know, equatorial street food. It's a lot of fun. So it's a it's definitely a different look and feel, but it's definitely us.
Now I'm gonna ask Brian to ask a question here because he asked you something on break, and you two seem to know what you were talking about.
I'm just gonna sit back and drink beer.
But I had no idea, so we're gonna let Brian get into this again with you.
Okay, so I made a note to myself. I checked on tap looking for references that were relevant to Trim Tab, and I was expecting to see a Fullerene Stout or IPA. Stout makes more sense since the Fullerene structure holds more weight. So I didn't see one. Sure. And are there plans to have a Fullerene IPA or Stout? Or
All right. So to get everybody up to speed, so our name Trim Tab is a Buckminster Fuller reference, and he was a pioneering engineer, humanitarian, pick any number of superlative things, but he invented the geodesic dome, and it was the chemical compound that really looks like a geodesic dome was named Buckminster Fullerene. And yeah, we haven't really done it's a great idea, and I gotta probably file for the trademark right now.
This goes out on Saturday.
On Saturday, yeah, until Saturday. So yeah,
race to the courthouse. But yeah, it's, you know, Buckminster Fuller is our inspiration and our jumping off point, but he's not really our mascot. So we try to be kind of, I don't know, backdoor about some of the references. So like Light Visions is a reference to the Buckminster Fuller. There are several other things that do as well. And we like to be a part of, like, you know, our branding, the way we kind of approach things is we don't want to, you know, bang the door down with it. We like it to be something that kind of people can discover, you know, and we like there being depth to the means that we're talking about, and not to say that we can't do Fullerene. Maybe we should have you guys at the brewery and we could, you know, brew Fullerene Imperial Stout together. What do you say?
There you go.
Done.
Sounds like a deal to me.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Power of collaboration.
Exactly. So Language of Thunder is another Imperial Stout that came out with just a few months ago as well. Really amazing stuff. We were super stoked to get some of those. So how did that come about?
So, that Language of Thunder was, you know, we've, you know, really focused a lot on expressive IPAs kind of like kettle soured beer up until this point. We have our, you know, our barrel aged sour beer production that's been maturing for the past year and a half. But we noticed that we really wanted to show people that, you know, stouts and in particular are something that we are passionate about and that we've got, you know, up our sleeve as well. So, We put out a 3-part release with that. It was a straight version, a mocha variant that had a really awesome cold brew coffee and liquid cacao. And then Cumulus, which had about 9 months of Willett bourbon barrel age, about 600 pounds of toasted coconut and 4 pounds of Tahitian vanilla in it. It was like brownie batter. So good. Nice. But yeah, it was like the name of that was in the Upanishads. It was this like a really ancient text was, you know, about how truth was communicated and basically the eternal answered the question with 3 claps of thunder. And 3 different people heard 3 different things, basically the things that they wanted to hear. So we named the series Language of Thunder because we wanted these beers to be very layered, very expressive, so that if 3 people tried the same beer, they'd probably be able to tease out a different interpretation themselves. So, it's a wax dip bottle. Really, you know, I worked really hard on that label. I myself and one other guy work on all the branding and labeling, and it was a lot of fun to design that one as well. It's really reflective and kind of very metallic. Cool.
Yeah, they're really nice looking labels. Like those a lot. I'm sure everyone would agree that the coconut was the superior version of those.
I would agree with that. Yes.
Yeah, that was a good. That was my favorite.
Cumulus is going to be coming out in a much bigger way this year. Those releases will happen at the end of November.
Well, Harris, thanks so much for joining us. If folks want to keep up with all the goings on at Trim Tab Brewery, what's the best way to do that?
at the moment, definitely following us on our socials. You know, we're very active on Instagram and Facebook in particular. We're investing and putting much more focus on the website, but that's definitely where we're the most active right now.
Very cool. Excellent. Harris Stewart, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Hey, always a pleasure, guys. Thanks.
And that's going to do it for this week's edition of Beer Guys Radio. Coming next week, we're taking a road trip. We are talking to Savannah River Brewing Company out of Augusta, Georgia. Remember to subscribe to Beer Guys Radio on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a review and let us know what you think. In the meantime, have a great week and don't forget to drink local. Cheers.
Duke's Mayo. Do you get it? Because only the ones that get it really get it. Your friends get it. Your mom gets it. Your grandma gets it. Your neighbors get it. Sometimes a dog gets it. Get out of there. What else? Your potato salads get it. BLTs get it. Tailgates get it. And restaurants get it too. By now, even you probably get it. So get it today. Made without any sugar since 1917, Duke's is that little southern something that makes good things better. Get Duke's. It's got twang.